I think I died and went to heaven. Oh, don't want to go to hell. Hey, this is an amazing set, isn't it? So you got to bring, oh, thank you. That's great. Chris, Sherry, how's Josh doing?
Awesome.
Awesome, okay.
Good.
Is he? Okay. He's in Cambodia and doing good. Man, keep praying for him. Praise God. Well, this is a great day. How many are coming, going to come back either tonight, tomorrow, or Tuesday with someone? Can I see your hand? All right, lots of you. Oh, that's going to be awesome. I'm excited. So I've got a lot to say. I don't know if you have a lot time to hear, but we'll do our best. So many good things that God is saying. And where are the NCSSM students? If you're a student, would you stand? NCSSM students? Okay. Amen. There they are. Okay. Good to see you. Yeah. Now, when I say that, you're supposed to stand up and go, woo! All right? There you go. There you go. Thank you. The school is just going incredibly well. We're 3 weeks in, and wow, what life-changing. It's absolutely life-changing. Amen. I want you to get your Bible out, and I want to share a little bit out of 1 Peter 2, verse 9. And I like the King James version of this scripture because it calls us peculiar. I like that word, peculiar. And kind of fits me, describes who I am. I'm a bit peculiar. And I'm getting more peculiar the closer I get to Jesus. You ever notice that? You get weird. You ever meet any weird Christians? I don't mean like crazy. I'm talking about just they're just so Jesus-oriented. They don't fit in this world anymore, right? Well, let's read this scripture. I don't know if you can see them over there. Those screens aren't as good as the one in the middle. But anyway, it says, but you are a chosen generation. Come on, read it with me. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special possession. People, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I want you to look at a couple of words, chosen. Chosen actually means preferred over others. So if you're a chosen generation, every generation that has lived, God has preferred that generation over the others. So you and I, because we're alive and we're breathing, we are preferred by God. We are a generation that God said, I want that one. And when you got up this morning, all of heaven reverberated with your potential. Just incredible things that when you put claim to Christ as your Savior, your whole world impacts the entire kingdom of God. And so what a blessing to know that you're a chosen generation and a royal priesthood. Royal priesthood meaning you're part of a kingdom. You are royal blood. You are part of a kingdom. A kingdom that is in earth. It's not of the world, but it's in the world, but not of the world. But it is a kingdom that is within. And it manifests itself in this world. And it's so much fun to watch the kingdom of God manifest, isn't it? To see people saved and healed and delivered. And then he goes on to say that we're a holy nation. Holy, set apart for God. Meaning that when I got up this morning, I realized that I belong to God. That I am associated with him and his kingdom and his purpose. And that this world has nothing for me. But that I am set apart for the purposes of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Then he goes on to say that we're going to proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. I like it. It says it's darkness, but it's marvelous light. God called us out of darkness, but he brought us into marvelous light. And that we might show forth or demonstrate the characters or the virtues, characteristics or the virtues of the kingdom of God. So you and I are manifestors. We are demonstrators. We are the ones that are living life from the inside out. Well, let me just make an announcement to some of us this morning because I don't think we really are convinced of it. There is absolutely nothing common about you. Okay? You are most uncommon. uncommon person. Nothing common about you. Realizing that you don't have a common marriage, common children, common job, common calling, common worship. There's nothing common about you when you became born again. Now, when you realize this, you're going to start asking God for some crazy things. When you know that you're an uncommon person, you're going to start getting uncommon prayer requests. Out of the box, out of the normal prayer requests. Like Joshua, hey God, would you do me a favor? Would you make the sun stand still for me for a little while? I've got to whoop these people here and really take them to task, but I need a little more daylight. See, that's uncommon. Who would have ever thought to impose on God to make him have time stand still? Who would even ask that? Who would be bold enough to do that? Who's radical enough? Who's extreme enough? Well, Joshua was. He didn't even think twice. He said, I need some more time. The only place I know where I can get time is for where time flows out of. I got to go to the man himself. I'll be right back. Hey, God, do me a favor. And he began to command the sun, and the sun stood still. I want you to begin thinking uncommonly. Pray uncommon prayers. Look for uncommon miracles happening in your life. See, when you realize that you are uncommon, you'll begin asking God for crazy things like sun standing still. Or we tend to ask God for what we believe is possible. So if we don't believe it's possible for God to give us a new job, we're going to stay right where we are and ask God to give us grace and peace to go to this job. Because we know God will give grace and peace, but we don't really believe God can give us a new job. Because the one I got now, I barely got. So I don't know how God can give me a new one. So you won't ask for things that you don't believe are possible. Like, how many of us would ask God to make the sun stand still? You have to believe that God will answer that kind of prayer or that it's possible for you to ask it. So you have to become uncommon to ask for uncommon things to happen in your life. Had Joshua not thought it would be possible, he would have never asked God to do it. That's why we don't ask God to save entire cities, because we don't think it's possible. I don't think we really ask God to empty out cancer wards at Cleveland Clinic. Look, I don't want to put anybody out of a job, but I'd love to see all the cancer ward at Cleveland Clinic be emptied out. I say, Lord, why don't you empty out the cancer ward at Cleveland Clinic? You begin asking God for radical things that make everybody look at you with one eyebrow raised. You become an object. You become those kinds of people that, hey, did you hear about radical extremists in our generation right now? Did you know there are some who are radical? They use their faith. They use their relationship with God, and they're extreme, and they're radical, and they cut your head off if you don't believe. How many know that's extreme? How many know that's radical? And they're putting fear in people all over the world. Well, I don't know about you, but I think it's about time God has some extreme, radical Christians that fill this world not with fear, but with love and with faith and with the power of God. But it's going to take an extreme, radical believer who is not common in their walk with the Lord. My prayer has been, God, show me an uncommon way to serve you. Help me to find an avenue that is out of the normal. I don't want to be classified as a normal pastor. I don't want to be known as a common church. I want to be associated with extreme radicals who believe God can make the sun stand still. He can empty out hospitals. He can raise up the dead. He can cause eyes to be opened and ears to be unstopped. You see, uncommon is being just one degree above average. Common is being average, but it takes so little to be above average. I don't want to be an average Christian. I don't want to be an average pastor. I want to be extreme. I want to be radical. Hey, this morning I was in the car. I was driving down 90 the other direction to go to the first service, and I saw this orange bus that had a dog face on it, I think. I'm not sure. Was it a dog face or a helmet? And it was going down 90 at like 9 in the morning. And I think they were going for the tailgate party. And I went, now that's radical. And then behind that bus, I saw another bus. This was the coolest bus. Half of it was painted scarlet and gray. The other half was painted orange and brown. They couldn't make up their mind. Were they for Ohio State or were they for the Cleveland Browns? And it was a huge former school bus. I mean, painted right down the middle. Now, these people will paint their faces and they'll get their game on and they'll get their hot dogs and their sausages and their grills and their beers and their brats. And they'll park and they'll cook and they'll go to the game and they'll be like, whoo, 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 whoo. I mean, they're extreme. They're radical. They'll get their face on TV. I don't know if any of you have seen the Bone Lady. She's like really radical. She has bones all over her. She's from the dog pound. She's a Cleveland Browns fan. I said, you know, I like that. I like that. That's extreme. And then I thought about church. Coming to church this morning, how many Christian houses were I passing where they were still sleeping? Because they're common. They're average. But can I tell you something? That Jesus Christ paid such an awesome price for your liberty and for my liberty and for our salvation that he deserves the highest praise. He deserves radical glory and extreme faith. Oh, hallelujah. He deserves it all. How many of you got a name tag when you came in today? Okay. What's your name? What's your name? Give me somebody's name. What's your name? What is it? Beloved Lisa. Beloved Lisa. Huh? What? Powerful. Glorious. Precious. Precious. Overcomer. Champion. Encourager. Huh? What's your name? Anointed servant. Come on, what's your name? Unique. You are. What's your name? Come on, what's your name? Huh? Finisher. I like it. What's your name? Whirlwind. I like that too. What's your name? All things to all men. Wow, that's awesome. Huh? What's your name? Okay, I'm loving it all. You see, Joshua was known in heaven different than he was known on earth. When Joshua went to God and said, hey God, I need some more time. In Joshua chapter 10, verse 13, he said, sun, stand still over Gibeon. And you, moon, I want you to stand still as well. So the sun stood still, the moon stopped, and the sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day. There has never been a day like it before or since, a day when the Lord listened to a human being. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. Now, I can imagine what it was like in heaven. Follow me. What was it like in heaven when that prayer request hit the streets of glory? All the angels heard the prayer request and went, who does he think he is? No, I don't think that's what they said. Watch this. Because Joshua was bold enough to ask for it, God was bold enough to give it to him. And suddenly Joshua was known as extreme, radical, bold, And his name tag in heaven was created. I ask you to put a name tag on today because I want you to see yourself the way God sees you in heaven. We've got to stop being human beings. Doings and be human beings. We need to be what God said we're to be. And quit trying to do all these religious exercises to somehow perform and impress God. I'm telling you right now, when you get to heaven, your name tag is going to be uncommon, radical, extreme, bold, encourager. Every word that we heard here earlier in just a few moments, we want to be tagged as those kind of people. Because if you're not bold enough to ask for it, I don't believe God's bold enough to release it. You and I have got to become chosen, preferred over others, become royal, understanding that we are operating in a kingdom. We are called to service a king in a kingdom. Let your kingdom come, Lord. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Wow, what a prayer. And you and I are the kind of people that can believe God to do that. Actually, God's raising up some extreme, radical Christians. Let me tell you, it's going to counter the secularists' move and the liberal move in America and even radical faith that is taking life. God's going to raise up and say, watch this. These are my people in the last day who believe me for uncommon miracles. I want to be a part of that. How many want to be a part of that? Shout, I want to be a part of it. Come on. I want to be a part of it. Amen. See, uncommon faith is a radical faith, and it is extreme. Here's what it is. It's like you believe God can do anything. And you never make little plans. Little plans aren't in your vocabulary. See, some of you need to go get a passport. Matter of fact, there's not a Christian that shouldn't have a passport. You say, well, why? Why do I need a passport? I'm not planning on traveling. You are planning on traveling. Why? Because the Bible said to go into all the world and preach the gospel. All the world. That means outside of Akron. Come on. You never know. Start making some big plans. Start making some big plans. Say, God, you know what? I know you can take me to the end of the world. And I know that you can open up doors for me that no man can shut. See, Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1 says this, the wicked flee when no one pursues. What does it say? But the righteous are what? The righteous are as bold as a lion. You know, when I saw that, I love watching lion shows. I love them. I watch them as much as I can. Tina does not like them. She likes them when they're laying down in the sun under the tree. But when they're in the hunt and they grab that little deer thing or whatever it is they're going to eat, she said, turn it off. I said, well, look the other way. This is the best part. They're going to eat this thing. I mean, it's just awesome. They just... and wait till it dies, and then they go for the guts. Isn't that terrible? They're like... and they eat it. I've seen some hyenas try to attack a lion. You know, a lion's eating its prey, and some hyenas are coming around. They're trying to scare the lion. And the lion's like, you better get out of here before I tear you up too. And they come at him, they bark at his heels. And he's all right, now you made me mad. I'm leaving my meat and I'm coming after you. And they start running. Do you ever see them? They're running. And they're like, and the lion comes back and he starts eating. And I said, God, why do you use a lion as what depicts our boldness? You said the righteous are as bold as what? A lion. I like that. So I did a little study about a lion. And here's what lions do when confronted. When confronted by a potential enemy, get this, what does a lion do when confronted by an enemy? Well, he does, but there's a reason for the roar. The lion, when confronted by an enemy, returns to the confidence of his mind. That's what they said. A lion will see an obstacle or an opponent, and he immediately returns to the confidence of his mind that says, I am stronger, more powerful than you. Then he gets his roar out because he went to the return of his mind. God said the righteous are as bold as a lion. That when you're confronted, you return to the confidence of your mind that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I've been young and I've been old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Come on, somebody. In other words, I return to the confidence of my thinking. Like, you don't scare me, devil, because you're under my feet. When we don't have the renewed mind, we lose our courage. We lose our courage. But you see, today, Romans 12:2 tells us to renew our mind. But watch what Proverbs 30:30 says. A lion which is mighty among beasts never turns away from any. Never turns away from any. Because they return to the confidence of their mind that says they're stronger and more courageous. Now, Isaac found himself in a bad place, a famine. Genesis 26, verse 1, it says, and there was a famine in the land. It's interesting in that verse, not only was there a famine in the land, but the land's famine was like the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, only it was worse than that famine. So the Bible's specific to say there was scarcity, but let me tell you, it was like the scarcity of Abraham, but it was really scarce. It's emphasizing to the reader how famished and how scarce life was at that moment. But because Isaac is uncommon, because Isaac is bold as a lion, he looked at famine and he said, I must return to the confidence of my mind. What's the confidence of my mind? The confidence in my mind when I'm faced with an opponent called lack is whatsoever a man sows, so shall he reap. This famine's coming down. And verse 12 is recorded. Then Isaac did what? Sowed in that land. What land? The land of lack. The land of famine. He sowed in that land. And he reaped in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. You know, you've got to get up in the morning and be so uncommon that you believe you can do anything God called you to do. That you are the most radical and extreme Christian in the entire world. That when you wake up, demons tremble. Heaven rejoices. Got to learn how to be a little radical. It's fun being radical because people look at you when you're radical. People laugh at you when you're radical. You know, radical moms, where the son comes in and go, hey, you guys seen mom? Yeah, she went up for a walk with Jesus. Walk with Jesus. Yeah, mom got up in the morning. She said, me and Jesus are going to go for a walk. I'll be back in about 15 minutes. And she goes out the door with her hand like she's holding Jesus' hand. She goes, my mother is crazy. Husband comes home. You seen mom? Yeah, well, she's out walking with some guy. She's walking with Jesus. Mom comes back in the door. Huh? You guys looking for? Did you want something? She goes, where were you? I told you I was walking with Jesus. Mom, stop it. See, radical people don't fit. Radical extreme Christians don't fit into the mold of religiosity and the mindset of average. When you get up in the morning and you believe that your praise is going to shake the heavens and that you declare and you decree and the thing is going to be established, everybody around you wants you to dumb it down. Come on, say dumb it down. You know what that means, don't you? Jesus' word is here, my experience is here, so I got to dumb down Jesus to make him fit my experience. Can't dumb him down. Watch. Saturday, we were in the school and starts at 7. I mean, I was there at 7:30 and it goes till 2. By the time I finished and it's going home, I told the Lord, I said, it's going to be a nice day. I'm going to go witnessing after I come home. But I was driving. I was tired. My body was like, you need to sleep. You need to lay on that couch. I said, yes, Jesus. I did. I said, yes, Jesus. Then the Holy Spirit reminded me. He said, yeah, but you said you're going to go witness. I said, I know, but Jesus said, go lay down. And I just got in the mail my T-shirt from the Voice of the Martyrs. You know, the one with the Arabic U with the dot on it that calls me a Nasara N Christian. You know, the ones that the Islamic radical extremists put on the houses of Christians in northern Iraq so that they would be killed. The U with the dot on it. I got my shirt. It came in the mail. And the Holy Spirit said, put it on and go walk with it. And I said, I'm going to do that Saturday. When I was driving home and Jesus said, you can lay down. But I found out it wasn't Jesus who told me to lay down. It was Louis telling me to lay down. And I put a wig on him with a beard and I said, that was Jesus who told me to get some rest. The Holy Spirit said, you better get out there, put that shirt on. I said, I'm going to do it, Jesus. So I put that shirt on. And on the back of it, it says, I am N. Now, I wouldn't advise wearing this in the streets of Syria. But thank God for America. And I happen to live in one of the largest Islamic populated areas in Ohio. At any given moment, you could walk out my door and you could come in contact with at least 10 to 15 Islamic families. Some of them dressed in the entire garb as women, black, with a little slit on their eyes, walking through the streets. And I put my shirt on and I'm looking in the mirror and I'm like, I need some sunglasses. So I got some sunglasses that were reflective so you couldn't see my eyes. And I put them on. I went, and I started getting nervous. I said, what if some crazy person tries to cut me with a knife or something? I'm just telling, being real. I said, doesn't matter. I'm going to be radical. I'm going to be extreme. So I put my shirt on, went outside. And I'm walking down the street praying in the Holy Spirit. I see my first Muslim family coming. And I went like this. Pull my chest out. And I'm watching them because they can't see my eyes. Because I got those reflective sunglasses. I look cool, man. I look really cool. And I'm looking at them as I'm walking by. I'm watching them. And they're like, and they're looking at me. Because nobody else can read it unless you can read Arabic. And it's a sign for Christian. And it's written in red. And it's dripping as if it was blood. And so I'm walking. I'm saying, God, I don't like this radical stuff. This is uncomfortable. How many know it's not easy to be radical? So I went down one street, and then I looked over at the Apple store. There was 40 people standing in line getting new phones. And I noticed that 40 of them, out of 40 of them, 20 of them looked like they could have been from the Middle East. So I cross the street, and I'm walking, and I'm saying, looking in the Apple store, so they can see my, I'm looking in the Apple store, trying to look at, And I'm watching their eyes through my glass. They're all looking. God's looking at me. Then I got real bold. I got on a street corner. And I acted like I had a phone call. And I'm talking on my phone going like. And I'd see when I'd go. I swear to God, I did. And all the time I'm shaking. I am shaking inside. A true story. So there was a husband and wife. And the husbands look like normal people and the wives look like abnormal people. And so she wouldn't look at me. Kept walking by. I'm like, if you see me walking down the street, start to cry. Walk on by. She wouldn't look at me. She would not look at me. So I said, okay, you ain't going to look at me? So I went up in front of her. She was like down there, and I started going like this. And finally she looked up at me, put her head right back down. I said, God, I can't do this anymore. I got to go home. I got up in my little apartment, closed the door, and went, oh, Jesus, it's hard being uncommon and radical. I need some help. But then I thought, what if we had 100 of us doing it? Oh, would that be fun? Wouldn't that be fun if 100 of us did it? Like Thursday over there at the Love Center, that's not easy. You know, people think, oh, that's easy. It's not easy. People walking in, 100 folks looking for food, Lowell's there every week. So I get a piece of cardboard and I cut it out of a box, poke two holes in it and put a makeshift ribbon around it, hang it on my neck and write it with a pen that says free prayer and hugs. And people walk in, I'm like, hey, free prayer and hugs. They're like, oh, okay, well, free hugs, huh? I say, yeah. All right, give me one. So I'm hugging all these people. Then they're starting to ask for prayer. How many people we pray for? 25, 30, 20? I don't know. More and more every week. They say, I've got this, I've got that, I've got this, I've got that, I've got this, I've got that. I say, it's all right, baby, because I've got Jesus. Amen. In other words, I believe that whatever you have need of is in the name of Jesus. So I can't hardly wait till they get done with their prayer request. I said, how can I pray? He said, well, I got fibromyalgia and I had this cancer this past week and then my son's got this and I have nothing. I was like, stop, let's pray. And we prayed and believed God. And I love the one I told you already, before I got my shirt, maybe I need to have, this is my dance on with my shirt. But when I saw Muslim people, they said Christians don't pray. They're like weak. I said, not this baby, not this uncommon man here. And I walk in and I see him and I'm like, praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You say, why are you like that? I don't know. I think I've been smoking something. I'm not sure. It just hits me. It's like anybody can be common. Anybody can be average. But you're not happy being average. You're not satisfied being common. And God, all the creation is waiting and yearning and moaning and groaning. What? For the manifestation of what? The sons of God. So I want to tell you today, you're the sons of God. And it's time for us to manifest the glory of the Lord. See, what happens is we become. And I'm not sure if you have this on the screens or not, but we empower other people to make us to remain what we've always been to them. Hear what I mean by that. We empower other people to keep us in the place that we've always been to them. So like we're Christians, we go to church like on Sunday, but when we're with our friends, we empower them to become what we've always been to them. Or we go to work and we empower our associates to keep us where we've always been. But how many know that's not helping anybody? You cannot empower other people to relate to you based on what you were. But you've got to allow people to begin introducing themselves to who you now are. You are uncommon, radical, extreme, on fire, Bible-believing, devil-thumping, tongue-talking. You say, well, now, Pastor, that's a little weird. Yeah. It is. It is not normal. Normal is to go halfway. Terah, father of Abraham, went halfway to Haran. When God said, go to the promised land, they camped out at Haran. And Abraham was told by God to leave your father and mother and your family. And Terah took Abraham. Like Abraham was supposed to be leading the parade. You and I are supposed to be leading the parade, not following the crowd. You know, when I preach messages like this, I think, oh my gosh, they are going to think I am absolutely crazy. They're going to think this guy has lost a screw. But that's okay. Let me tell you, I didn't have any screws anyway. My head is empty. I don't know about you, but it's time to get it on, man. It's time to make this thing work and work on every level. So Terah dies and Abraham gets back and on track and he goes. And really the Lord spoke to me and said basically what this is Terah represented the life before Christ. See, we have all had a life before Christ. We meet Jesus and then we live and walk with Jesus with the life that we had before Christ. That doesn't work. It'll hold you back. You've got to let some stuff fall away. You've got to become uncommon. You got to come with me. Wear a shirt and let's dance. Want to? Wouldn't it be crazy if like it was 100 of us crazy dancers? How many of you would actually not want to come? Let me know how it goes. Because I ain't going to be a part of that. Yeah, me too. Now, let me just give you a couple things here, and I'm going to wrap this up, but I can't see the clock because the lights are in front of it, which is great. But here's the word bold, okay? And if you would with me, I want you to declare this about yourself, okay? And here's the definition. Say with me, I am fearless. Adventurous. Brave. Valiant. Intrepid. Dauntless. Brazen. Forward. Presumptuous. That's what bold is. I'm presumptuous. I'm so presumptuous that if I pray, you're going to get healed. I'm so adventurous that I want to go see what God will do if we press the issue in that town, or we push our message into that space. I'm so adventurous. I'm so bold to believe that God will do exactly what He said He would do. So the question is here today, is my faith radical? Is what I'm believing God for making other people think? Here's how you know if you're radical. It makes other people think, what is up with you? Like what do you got going? If your faith in God isn't making others go, who does she think she is? Who are you? Then maybe your faith isn't quite radical enough. Do you remember Saul went looking for donkeys and ended up finding prophets? And the prophesying came on him and he starts prophesying. And what did his friends say? What gives to the son of Kish? Is he now a prophet? Like, what are you doing, dude? You're not a prophet. His faith was so radical, it made others relate to him on a level of questioning his manifestation. Like, what are you doing believing God for that? It's like taking tickets for heaven's gates and hell's flames and passing them out on your street. Hi, I'm your neighbor. I live down the street. I know we've never talked, but I'm introducing myself now. I've got 2 free tickets for Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flame. It's a production that'll change your life forever. It'll make you do that. And when they close the door, you go, who was that guy? What are they asking us to do that for? And I'll tell you why. I don't even know all the story yet. And I got to be real careful because if I think about it, it'll make me cry. 40-some-year-old man just moved to northern Ohio because he struggled with alcohol. And he had to be free. He said, I got to get out of this. So he moved and he started attending church on the North Coast in the other place. And he wanted to enroll in the school because he thought maybe that will help me get my mind, get my head straight. And I just heard this morning that he committed suicide Thursday. Oh my God. On my watch? God, in my church? He came into the church and yet he committed suicide a few Sundays later? Chris, how many stories, Sherry, how many stories do you guys know of people that came to Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames, got saved, and days, even weeks afterwards, went to heaven?
Hours.
I said, God, you know what? I've got to become more radical. Not one person in Cleveland should die without hearing the message of Christ. Not one. They deserve to hear the message of Christ. That means every paramedic. Every paramedic. We need to pray for paramedics that get full of the Holy Ghost and become radical. Every policeman, every firefighter, every emergency responder. So radical that when they're over a person and trying to resuscitate them, they're giving them Jesus before they go into eternity. You get what I'm saying? I mean, I'm talking about radical faith that stirs up a city, that everybody knows that church over there is radical and extreme. Dr. Summerall, bless his heart, I wish he was here sometime, and other times I'm glad he's gone, but he's to put fear in me. First time I met him, I'm like, oh my gosh. It's like sitting down next to Jesus. He said, you find out what God's doing in the earth and you go to it and you get it. See, it's real easy to come in and be a Baptist, but it's real hard to transition to become a Pentecostal because most people won't become radical and extreme enough to seek. You become satisfied. And you can become Pentecostal, but if you're not careful, you'll become so satisfied that you won't pursue with passion the prophetic. And the reason why I wanted to go to Brazil is because there's a long-standing revival there, and there are people whose eyes are opening, ears are opening, lame people are walking, and the dead are being raised. And I said, God, send me to Brazil. I want to go. I want to see it. I want that impartation. I don't know what they're doing, but I need that, and I want to bring it back to my church. But know this, Kayton, if you get too extreme and radical and start talking about raising people from the dead and healings and baptism of the Holy Spirit and the power of God, people are going to think you're too crazy. Not you, but people. You're not people. You're like the team. You're the kingdom. You're the power of God. But you know what I'm saying? Because it draws the line. It draws a line in the sand. See, I believe that, by the way, if you want to give to us, we haven't raised enough money. If you want to give to us, this is the last time I'll ask. I don't want you to feel like I'm laboring for the money. But Brazil, pastor, put it on an envelope, however much you want to give. And if we get it, we'll go. And if not, we'll refund the money 100%. So, you know, whatever God speaks to you. But listen, I kept looking at the generations. I read an article in Huffington Post. I think it's Huffington. They did a study of morality in America in the church and outside the church, and they found that it's exactly the same. We're as immoral in the church as we are outside the church. The only difference is, listen to this, this is what they recorded. The only difference is those in the church are more guilty about what they do. That's all the difference. And I said, God, you know what? That's got to come to an end. That has to come to an end when we say, we are not like that. We are radical. We are extreme. And we are taking this to the streets. We're going to take this message in power and in glory. Here's what happens. Typically, and church history will show this out, a generation experiences revival. A second generation follows it, and it's a little less. A third generation comes, and they need to be saved again. And it's a constant repeat. Instead, we should be moving from glory to glory. I believe every generation should have increase. We should see more power and more glory in the next generation than we do in this generation. I believe that. I believe that's what God wants for His kingdom. It should never diminish. His kingdom has no end. It should be increased. It should constantly be expanding. But unfortunately, that's not the case. And I believe there's a reason for that. And the reason for that, I believe, is because we get our focus off of the prophetic. Now, before you turn me off, listen to me. I'm not talking about, thus saith the Lord. There's an apple tree, and the apple fell from the tree, and you're that apple, and you know, all that stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about prophetic, which is Jesus. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You lose your focus on Jesus and you diminish. You get it on church and you diminish. You get it on people and you diminish. You get it on preachers or celebrities and you diminish. Thank God for the gifts in the church. I'm glad for teachers and preachers. But give me Jesus any Sunday. Come on now, you know what I'm talking about? I'm glad you saved. I'm glad you got knowledge. But you know what? I need some Jesus. The story in 2 Kings about Elisha and Elijah. Elijah was the prophet, and he was the master, and he had at least 50 to 150 in his church. But there was one dude named Elisha, and Elisha was a radical dude. Because Elijah said to his church, you all stay here, I've got to go to this city, and I'll be back. And everybody said, okay. Except one. Elijah said, I'm going with you. And Elijah said, no, you can't come. He said, I don't care what you say. Because I'm coming. So off they went. Go to the second city. What did Elijah say? Stay here. What did Elisha say? Ain't no way. Why? Because I'm uncommon. I ain't like the commoners. I'm a royal priesthood. I'm a peculiar person. Where you go, I go. So he went to the next city, went to the next city. Finally, Elijah looks back at him and goes, what do you want? Now, if I was Elisha, after pouring water on the hands of Elijah for all those years, I would have said, I want 2 weeks in the Bahamas. I want a new Bentley. Now, think big, man. I want a Phantom Rolls Royce. You owe me. But he didn't say that. He said, I want double what's on you. And what did Elijah say? You've asked for a hard thing. Everybody say hard.
Hard.
You know why it's hard? Because the only way you get it is if you don't lose your focus. How do you know that? Because Elijah told Elisha, you get this if you see me go. If I get caught up in the whirlwind, you see me, you get what you want. What he was saying is, don't lose your focus. Don't you get it on men. Don't you get it on church. Don't you get it on the secularist ideas. Don't you get it on religion. Don't you get it on anything else. You keep your eyes on Jesus. And suddenly Elijah's caught up in the whirlwind. And Elijah said, my master, my master. And suddenly the mantle fell. He picked it up, went to the river, and he said, the God of Elijah struck the river. It parted. And he walked across because he had the double anointing that he wanted. It was an increase from one generation to another. It takes a commitment to stay radical. You can't let consequences talk you out of it. You can't let people define you by how they know they've known you. I mean, people could say all kinds of stuff like, well, I see, I knew him when, I'm not going to let what you know about me redefine who I have become. And I'm not going to be cautious about it. I may have done what you say I've done, but I am not who you say I am. Because I've come a long way, baby. And I refuse to be intimidated by your opinion of me. You know what I'm saying? In other words, you got to keep your focus on Jesus. Come on, tell somebody around you, keep your focus on Jesus. I know you don't like doing that, but Elijah thought on a different level. Royal priesthood. Royal priesthood. How many know that once a year, the high priest went into the Holy of Holies? If you don't know that, in the Old Testament, once a year, high priest went into the Holy of Holies, offered the sacrifice for the people and their sins for an entire year. Had his vestments on. On the bottom of the vestments, he had two things. He had bells and pomegranates. And he would walk in with his Holy Ghost sway. And tradition said they would tie a rope around his waist. You know why they tied a rope around his waist? Because if they didn't hear the bells, that means he's dead. And if he's dead, I'm not going in there to get him. Because what killed him will probably kill me. We pulling you out. Okay, that's what they did. Now here, the bells represent what? The gifts of the Spirit. The pomegranates represent what? The fruit of the Spirit. Come on, students. The pomegranates, they call it Abraham's fruit. But here's what religion will do. If you cut a pomegranate, you'll see all its seeds. The religious law said there were 139 seeds, so you had to keep an extra 139 rules in order to be right with God. You had to keep the law, but you had to keep 139 more because there's 139 seeds in the pomegranate, which is Abraham's fruit, which hangs upside down like a crown that's on the bottom of the vestments of the priest. Get it? You got to be religious. No. If the bells are the gifts of the Spirit, and if the pomegranate is the fruit of the Spirit, and if Jesus, our high priest, how many know he's a high priest? Amen. Say he's the high priest.
He's the high priest.
Are you convinced?
Yes.
All right, say he's the high priest.
He's the high priest.
He went into the Holy of Holies once and forever. And presented the sacrifice that is eternal, his own blood. And the Bible says he made a way for you and me, a new and living way that we can enter in to the Holy of Holies. Amen. But God said you're a what? Royal priesthood. If you're a royal priesthood, then you've got bells and pomegranates. And bells and pomegranates ought to be swaying because you're alive in the Spirit and the sound is coming from the power of the Holy Spirit. But here's the problem. The church, we diminish the gifts of the Spirit. Oh, that's praying in tongues. That's of the devil. My pastor told me that's the devil. Gift of healing, gift of faith, discernment, prophecy. We talk about it. Some of us as churches actually have it in our beliefs, but not in our practices. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Holy Spirit will speak to you right now. Holy Spirit will tell you, you know, go do this, go do that, and you do it, and I'm telling you, the kingdom expands and explodes. But here's the problem. If God's made us a new and living way to come into the Holy of Holies, we as His royal priesthood ought to be manifesting the sound of the gifts of the Spirit, and we ought to be swaying in the fruits of the Spirit. But if there's no sound, there's no fruit, it means the church is dead. The priest was dead when there was no sound. And the church in this era is dead when there's no manifestation of the fruits of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. They are part and parcel of who we are. So I can walk into a situation and be fearless and undaunted and have this boldness and adventurous spirit because I know it's not me, it's the God in me. And I know that even though I don't know it, He'll make it known to my mind. And I will speak in that moment and now a word that'll set that person free. I am totally confident. Amen. So we see, you and I are going to have to make that decision today. Am I going to become a radical person? Am I going to become extreme? When I want to get to heaven, when I get to heaven, going to walk with Jesus. And when I get to heaven, going to see His face. And when I get to heaven, going to talk with Jesus. Saved by His wonderful grace. Some of you don't know that song, do you? You don't want to learn it either, but it's a neat song. And when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Come on. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. I know I want to see Him. Look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Let me tell you something, when I get to heaven, you can keep all that. I just want my name tag. I want my name tag. What do you call me in heaven? They call me Louie down here and other things, but what do you call me? What do you call me, Jesus? I call you radical. I call you faithful. I call you extreme. I call you loving. I call you a weeper, you little crybaby. I call you kind. I call you gentle. I call you a man of God. I said, God, that's all I want you to call me. So angel, get your pen out. Take my name tag and write on there how I'm known in heaven. I'm Louie down here, but I don't want to waste my days, God, being average. Because everybody's average. I want to be uncommon, God. I want you to know, I want all of heaven to know that I'm bold enough to ask for the sun to stop. For you to give us a city, God. For you to help us, Father, reach unreachable people, God. Isn't this awesome? Just think about it with me. God loves Muslims. them so much. He's bringing them to your city. Thousands are coming to America. They think they're coming to take over. They're coming to meet you. You radical, uncommon people. Oh, come on now. They're coming from all over the world. This is the nation that says our doors are open. Bring us your broken. Bring us your lost. Bring us your hurting. Come back to America. And I look around and I say, God, there they are, and you brought them right to my doorstep. Now, let me be an uncommon lover of God so that they will see Jesus so big. They will know that he is the very Son of God. How many want to be a radical Christian? Woo! I want to be a radical Christian, Lord. I'm going to pray right now. Father, I believe for every past association or hindrance or mentality that has made anyone in this room settle for Haran or halfway is broken. Father, every past identity under the shadow of who we were will no longer be a factor, just as it was no longer a factor in Abraham's life. Father, today I pray, let the sound of the bell and the swaying of the pomegranate be heard in the local church again. That we cry out, come Holy Spirit, lead us, guide us, speak through us. You're here this morning and you say, I've never really gone all the way with God. I've tipped him. I've given him a token of my life, but I've always been hesitant to give him everything. But today, I feel like I want to make that decision. I want to give myself completely to him. 100%, no turning back, everything to God. Holy Spirit, would you begin to speak to every man, woman, boy, and girl in this room? And if that's you this morning, you say, Pastor, would you just pray that I would make that choice? That's you today, and you want that prayer. Would you just kindly hold your hand up high enough for me to see it? And then you can put it back down. But God bless you and you. And anyone else? High enough for me to see it? Okay, over there? Thank you. I didn't see that, but thank you. Over there as well. I want you to look up at me for a minute, please. And could you put my definition of what loitering is? It's against the law. In the kingdom. The definition of loitering is where, sadly, a large percentage of the church is. It's the act of remaining in a particular place for a protracted time without apparent purpose. Got saved in 1987. You're in the same place today as you were in 1987. That's against the law. No loitering allowed in the kingdom. You've got to move along now, son. You've got to break up this little band of loiterers on the street corner. Come on, get out of here. Did you see the sign? No loitering. Church has become a place of social hangout, but it's not become a place of apparent purpose. And we're out to change that. Amen? So maybe the second call would be for people that says, you know what, I'm tired of loitering. I'm going to move on with God. So we're going to stand, and I want the altar ministers to come and hang out up here with us. You do that, come on. Everybody stand up, please, and if you've been here more than once, you know the drill. This is the moment when you're going to say yes to God. It's the moment when you're going to say, Father, I'm coming to you. So you're not really coming to a person up here. You're coming to God. You're coming to the kingdom. If you raise your hand or you need prayer or you need to get off the street corner and get your purpose in the kingdom, and do it this morning. Do it today. So before we go out that door, make your decision for God. Now, on Wednesday, I don't know that I've seen better small group interaction in 25 years. But Wednesday night, it was powerful. And if you come, you can be a part of the marriage class with Michael and Joanne. I'm going to be talking about physical, social, spiritual intimacy. You could be part of improving your walk with God, your walk with Him, with Dr. Smallwood. Minister Terry Bell, she's doing grief counseling and grief class. There was about 12 or 15 in there. Just a great opportunity. Your kids. Man, bring your teenagers to church. There is nothing out there worth it. Get them in here to find God. Pastor Adam and Jenna will be here. It was a great service Wednesday night for the youth. Then we've got boys and girls programs as well. I know it's not soccer. I know it's not baseball. I know it's not school activity. But it is worth it. If you make the investment, it's worth it. So I just want you to think about Wednesday night. So right now, if you need prayer, would you come out from where you're standing and just join with one of these? Father, I bless this house. I thank you for the wonderful people that you've called and gathered here. I thank you, Lord, that everything about them is whole. I speak wholeness physically. I speak wholeness emotionally. And I speak wholeness spiritually. Now, Father, bless as we depart this place, giving you all the glory and thanks in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. What time tonight, Chris?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock tonight. We need some more angels. Non-speaking parts. You just have to look angelic. And you will, that will take care of that. So see Chris or Sherry, is that how we're going to do that? So please, if you could become a part of an angel group, we need angels. God bless you. Drive safe. Love you. Nothing you could do about it.